I want to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, to Exodus chapter 14. It's Exodus chapter 14. I'm primarily going to focus on verses like 8 through 12 or so, but it's kind of a whole story there about where the backdrop of this is, where the children of Israel had been hundreds of years under slavery in Egypt and under pharaohs, and building Egypt's kingdom and building their buildings and doing all the stuff that they wanted them to do. They're being forced to do it. And for generation after generation, when Moses, you got to realize, when Moses came along in this thing, they had been generations in slavery. Grandparents, great-grandparents, great-grandparents before that, everybody, what they knew was slavery. The only thing they knew about freedom was what they saw in the Egyptians that didn't, it weren't slaves. They never personally knew freedom because they were slaves from the day they were born on. Because for so many generations they had been slaves. So Moses comes along. God sends Moses into this thing. You know the story. I'm not going to go into all that story. I want to focus primarily on this part. He sends Moses along to begin preaching a new message, basically bringing a new message to Pharaoh of, let my people go. Let my people go. A people that had never known freedom. I mean, they had, how many generations that is, but generations had not known it. So mothers, fathers, grandmothers, I mean, this whole generation of people, this everyone who was alive when this happened, then none of them had known freedom. All they knew was slavery. And the pain of that and the suffering of that and all that went entailed with that. So there, he comes along, God sends Moses, and then all these plagues and all these powerful things that happen, and he sets them free, causes Pharaoh to let them go. And then in chapter 14 of Exodus, it talks about how the Egyptians, how Pharaoh, actually God says he's going to harden his heart again to come after them. And so he's hardened his heart again. So basically he's getting angry because they're gone. Now you got to realize there's so much to this story. These slaves, for all of history, have built empires. They rode, you know, they had them in the bottoms of ships that were, when they fought wars, that all they did for years and years and years was row boats. And when they died, they just threw them off and put another one in their place. And the Egyptians would do the same thing. They had them carrying stones and building buildings and monuments to pharaohs and their false gods and all this stuff. And go just look in history. There's so many. And so these, you know, people were just stuck in this mindset for so long. And then here comes Moses, let my people go. Well, here's the problem. Moses doesn't just have difficulty with Pharaoh. He has difficulty with the people who are stuck in this mindset also. And see, this is a big deal. Because to Pharaoh, this isn't just some slaves. These are those who build his legacy. These are those that build his empire. So he's not going to let go. The spirit of Pharaoh does not just let go, ever. And the spirit of Pharaoh is in all different shapes and sizes. It's not just one big kingdom. It says in Scripture that there's principalities and powers that rule the air, that are over things. And that we, by the Holy Spirit, that we have authority over things through the kingdom of heaven. But we got to know how to correctly use that authority. And we've got to know God's ways. If we know his ways, then we can navigate things correctly and rightly and not do it the wrong way. But I don't want to get off on that. I want to talk about this. So here comes Moses saying, let my people go, to this Pharaoh who he's got to let thousands of people go who are going to build his legacy and his empire. And I mean, every pharaoh wants to be bigger than the last pharaoh. and better, and you're going to take his only way of being bigger and better than all the rest, you know, that's a pretty big deal. But because of the plagues and because of God's involvement, everything that God did and how he worked it out, Pharaoh ends up letting them go. And then in chapter 14 of Exodus, they're in this valley. They're by the sea, mountains on one side and the other, the sea behind them. They're camped out. God told them to camp at this place. He actually had told Moses what he was going to do. You know, he was going to have Pharaoh chase after him, and then you're going to watch my hand deliver and bring honor back to me, and I'm going to take care of Pharaoh and take care of Egypt. So it talks about, let me just read this. And the Lord had hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the seaside of Heroth before Zephon, I think it is. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. Now let me stop for a second. I just want you to picture this. Okay, they've come out of slavery hundreds of years. They're free. But they're still having trust issues. They're still having issues trusting the God that just delivered them miraculously from Pharaoh. I mean, big issues. Because they're very afraid. They're in a bind. There's no way out. I mean, Pharaoh's army's coming one way with, you know, a lot of chariots, a lot of horses, and all of Egypt. One of the most powerful kingdoms, well, probably it was the most powerful kingdom on the earth, I guess, at that time, is sending everything he's got because he's mad. And they're hemmed in. They got nowhere to go. There's no running. And they're not, certainly not going to outrun chariots. So it says, Pharaoh drew near the children of Israel, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not what we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. So he had to battle Pharaoh and all 10 of these plagues and all of that. And then here they are saying, why, you know, we told you back there, why didn't you just leave us there? We would, you know, be better there serving him than dying here. So, I mean, if you're Moses. And then Moses is caught in the middle. Okay, God, what am I supposed to do with this? But God had already told him. He's like, you know, look, you're going to watch your God deliver you today. Now, you read chapter 14 on your own. I'm not going to go into all of it. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Read it. It's amazing. Because it says here that when Pharaoh's armies were coming against to get the children of Israel, they're coming. They're afraid. They're freaking out. They're going to Moses saying, you know, we told you, you should have left us back there, but you brought us out here. And there's no graves here. You could have left us there. We'd be serving him at least, you know, whatever. So, you know, he's in a bind there, but he's like, look, trust God. He's going to deliver you today. Watch. Sometimes when we're in that place, you know, it's one thing to be in the kind of a bind where you can move some things around and you can think in your mind, I can get through this or over this mountain if I move this here and I pay this next month and I do this now, I can fix this. But it's a whole different ball game when you're in the kind of bind where if God doesn't do a miracle, it's over. Yes. You're just watching the clock. They're in the kind of bind that requires a miracle. There is no way to figure it out. There's no way to overcome chariots. There's no way to run. They're not going to swim across the Red Sea. They're not going to climb the mountain and make it. all of Pharaoh's power and all of his army is coming to get them. But there's still, this is what blows my mind, is in this story, they're in this place, and there's a pillar of fire and smoke that is the angel of God leading them. And it says that God moved the angel around behind them, and to the Egyptians it was darkness, and to them it was light, to allow them to see and to keep the two camps separated all night long, where the Egyptians couldn't get to them, they couldn't attack them. So he blocks it. Now, I don't know how to picture this. I mean, you got this pillar of fire and God protecting you, and this mindset thing of, why didn't you just leave us back? No. You know, when God gives at any time in history, whenever God's done something radical, think about Martin Luther King Jr. He brought a radical message of love and did it right. He did it right. Against all that hatred and all of that stuff, he did it right. To the very end, he did it right. And he changed history. But think about that and think about this. Anytime God sends along something that is a message against the establishment and against what is in control, like a Pharaoh, where it's not going to let go, because as long as Pharaoh's in control, Pharaoh's getting stuff from this. He's getting his empire built. He's making money from it. He's getting glory from it, whatever it is. It's the same today. And also, the crazy thing is we get this thing that, you know, we get a message. God gives us a message, and it's new, and it's not new, but it's a message that goes against the grain of everything. And we think it's going to be easy. And we think that there's not going to be any difficulty. And we think that when everything's going good, it's like, but then, you know, when it's like this, when Pharaoh's army's closing in and there's nowhere to run, and that feeling of, oh my goodness, God, if you don't, we're done. You know what I'm talking about? That is the place where it is the most awesome place to be. Because what he did at that time, and he gave us this example of this, is he told Moses what to do. The next morning, after the pillar of fire was all night long and it was darkness on Egypt's side, and it was, you know, giving light to Israel's side, when the morning broke, he told Moses to go out and raise his staff, you know, on the sea and split the sea open and allowed them to go ahead. And it says that God came down and confused Egypt's army by taking the wheels off of their chariots where they couldn't go fast. So then Egypt's like freaking out, because they're saying, oh, God's fighting for them. You know, like all the wheels come off their chariots, you know. So then they go down because of his anger. This is what God said was going to happen. He knew. He'd already planned this out. He told Moses what he was going to do. Israel gets safe on the other side. And then he says to Moses, when Egypt's still struggling along trying to get through there, he says to Moses, okay, now drop your staff. And when he does, the whole sea swallows up all of Egypt's army. See, God fights for us sometimes. Here's what he wants you to know. When you're in that place that you feel like you can't get out of, he's going to fight for you. That's when we have to trust him. There's nothing else to do but trust him. You know what else he said in that thing? He told, when the children of Israel, in this verse, I think it was right after, it says in verse 13 and 14, chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall see no more again forever. The Lord will fight for you and shall hold your peace. God also told Moses, because Moses looked at God one time like, what do I do? And then God's response was, tell the people to go forward. So what do? We trust him and we move forward. We trust him and we move forward. When we're in that place where it feels like there's nowhere to go and the enemy's closing in, we trust him and we move forward. And he fights for us in those times. See, the wonderful thing about that, we don't have to figure anything out. It feels, if our mind's on the wrong side of that, it's rough. It hurts, it stinks, it's hard. But there's, if you could just, for a moment, decide to trust him and say, Jesus, I trust you with this. I know you're going to work this out, and really give it over to him. It's like there's a peace that just goes, and he just takes it. And then you move forward. We don't just sit, you know. We got to move. We got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward, no matter what comes. Because if we move forward and we trust him, he will fight the battle for us. He has the timing already worked out. He just needs us to trust him and obey and go. I don't know about you, but I know that I know that I know that what he's saying to us tonight is trust me. Just trust me. I do. I trust him. If you guys would stand, I just want to pray. Father God, tonight we just thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you that you fight battles for us. God, we thank you that you fight the battle for us, God, that you already have that worked out ahead of time. And I choose tonight, God, to give it over into your hands. Father, I choose to trust you and move forward. In Jesus' name, God, I choose to trust you and move forward. In Jesus' name, God, we love you. We bless you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for all that you have done. God, we thank you for the pillar of fire. God, that was with them and now is in us through your Holy Spirit. So God, I just call forth everything of that, of your nature that's in us, to rise up and keep moving forward into you and keep getting your ideas and your plans, God, and opening doors, God, that no man can open. God, no man can split a sea. Only you can do that. No man can change the reputation of a city, but you can. You can. So God, we trust you with that right now in Jesus' name. You can do that, and I trust you with it. And Father, I just ask you, God, that you would touch every one of us here, because we are not alone. And there's not probably one of us here tonight that's not going through something at some degree or some level. Some of it major, some of it not. But either way, God, I just pray right now for some miraculous things to happen tonight, God, that as we leave here, we see breakthroughs in so many areas. God, that just like the army of Egypt coming down, you moved that pillar of fire around behind, you held them back, you knocked their wheels off, and then you let it close in on the enemy and just obliterate the enemy. God, I pray that tonight in Jesus' name, God, there'd be breakthrough in our lives, God, in finances, God, in health issues, God, in every area, in every aspect, everything the enemy would attack. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, there would be breakthrough, and that the sea would close in on the enemy and wash him out. In Jesus' name, in every area being attacked. No more fear, no more confusion, no more worry. He said in that scripture, he would hold their peace. So, Father, right now I declare that also. You hold our peace. You hold our peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We love y'all.